You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message. This past Sunday's podcast features a special time in the presence of Jesus. Our agenda was interrupted as we were made aware of what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. Thanks for listening, and be blessed.
I think we're in need of apprehending these things around the Lord's table right now. There's a saying that I think it was Bill Johnson who really said it so well, that we don't war for a place of victory, we war from a place of victory. So an army that knows that we already won this thing, we're just pretty much occupying the territory that's already been conquered, is at peace. It's not, you know, it's not D-Day every day. That's not spiritual warfare. That D-Day already happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus embarrassed principalities and powers, triumphing them over them in the cross. So for us today, 2,000 years later, the key to victory is to grab hold of all those things that were already done and put on that cross 2,000 years ago. So I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and hand out the communion elements, and I want to read something to you. Like I said, I've been kind of marinating in the book of Revelation, which I've done a little bit of teaching on it here. I know that Revelation is one of those books that's been taught that scares people and kind of, you know, it makes it seem like it's a doomsday book, you know, the apocalypse and all this kind of thing. I'm going to tell you that Revelation has more worship in it than any other book except the Psalms. That the angels are, as somebody exhorted earlier, always singing in heaven. There's an attitude and an atmosphere of worship, of triumph. There's never a moment that heaven's worried. There's never a moment where God's like, hey, Michael, man, but you think you could do something about this? This is getting crazy down there. Never been a moment like that. So I want to read to you Revelation 12 as ushers are handing out the elements right now. And just soak in this truth for a minute. Revelation was written to a people that were about to endure the first official empire-wide persecution of the church. They may have already been in it. Certainly the recipients of the letter, which we call the revelation of Jesus Christ, they were in the middle of persecution already. You probably couldn't find a saint in any of the seven cities that received this letter that didn't have a loved one who died, that didn't have family members that were taken away captive, that weren't meeting in secret for fear of when they would next be arrested, thrown in dens and burned alive, and all these kind of things that were going on. So it was written to encourage people who were in the midst of persecution for righteousness' sake that Jesus is enthroned. Don't forget where he is right now. Don't forget the future of the gospel was at stake. The entire future of the kingdom of heaven rested in the hands of a few saints in cities all around the Roman Empire who at any moment could have just packed it in and said, that's it. This isn't worth it. We don't even know for sure. How do we know for sure that this is going to turn out the way we think? We have 2,000 years of hindsight right now of victory after victory after victory to attest that Jesus was right. The scriptures are right. He truly does sit enthroned in the heavens. But the saints who received this in the first place, many of them didn't even have a Bible. They didn't have anything except the living presence of God to encourage them. So here's John telling the gospel story in Revelation 12. All of the history of the kingdom of heaven is right here in this chapter. And here's how it goes. It's a vision. I'll lay it out for you. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, 12 species of government. And this is Revelation chapter 12, the chapter where the government of the kingdom of heaven gets established in the earth. Here's what it looks like in the heavenlies. By the way, if you're looking for a fresh take on the Christmas story, here it is right here. Your teenagers are like, yeah, we get it about, you know, baby in swaddling cloths. Here's what was going on in heavenlies. She was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, ready to give birth. And there another sign appeared. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns. On his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. How many of you know the darkness gets worse? And its attack gets even more intense when we're about to birth something new. Somehow the enemy, he's not a prophet, but somehow he can discern the times better than most Christians can. And he knows something's up here. Which is why when Moses was born, the Pharaoh said, kill all the 2 and under. because I sense a deliverer is afoot. When Jesus was born, Herod made the same decree. All the boys 2 and under, I sense a deliverer is afoot. I don't know who he is because I'm not a prophet, but he's around here somewhere. The kingdom of darkness knows when you're about to birth something new, when something is bursting forth, a mom ready to give birth. It's evident that the baby's not born yet. So here's this warfare over the birthing of this child. She gave birth to a son, a male child. That's Jesus, right? Who's to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That was Jesus triumphing over the grave, now ascended to the throne of God. And there was war in heaven. The war is in heaven. The warfare doesn't belong down here among us. Spiritual warfare happens in spiritual places. I'll just let you marinate and say la and that. I don't have time to break that one down yet. So the dragon and his angels waged war. Did you notice that it was Michael and his angels waging war against the dragon, not God against some equal and opposite evil force? There has never been a war between God and Satan. It's no match. He falls like lightning from heaven the moment he contests God's throne. That was his first and last mistake. I want to sit higher than the throne of God. And just like that, he was thrown down to earth as quick as lightning. That's the end of the enemy's fate. However, in this realm where we live, the contention is between us and the kingdom of darkness, between the angels of light and the angels of darkness. Did you notice he only took a third of the angels down with him? So that means even in the heavenly warfare, we outnumber them 2 to 1, at least. You think about that for a minute. Those are overwhelming odds when you're talking about angels like Michael. You know what angels, I've never had a manifestation of an angel. And sometimes I think, man, I would really love that experience. Then I've talked to some people who have had it happen, and I think maybe I could do without that experience. That's why there's a reason why they always say fear not when they show up on the scene. My friend said he needed a new pair of underwear. I'll just leave it at that. Sorry, you didn't need that picture, but he shared it with me. That's how intense they are. And as Michael is an archangel, Michael is right up there with Lucifer, the son of the dawn, the right-hand angel of God at one point till he fell. There was war. They weren't strong enough. There was no longer a place found for them in heaven. The spiritual warfare has already been accomplished. The enemy of your soul and mine has no place to be found in the place where true authority dwells. Spiritual authority is where all authority in the earth begins. It may manifest in the earth, but it begins in there. Isn't it good news to know there is no place found for them in heaven? There is never any true authority to put down a son or daughter of God. How does he manifest his authority? He's thrown down, called the devil. He deceives the whole world, and he was thrown down to the earth. His only weapon is deception. The only way the king of darkness ever has the up on a saint of God is when he succeeds at tricking us. Tricking us into believing that because of what we just did, we're no longer worthy to be a son of God. That because of what just happened, it's hopeless, and now darkness is going to prevail in the land. That's his only weapon, is to convince the people of God that somehow he has the upper hand. Well, that's why we needed a revelation of Jesus Christ, to have this truth revealed that in heavenly places, he's long since been thrown down to the earth. And here's what's going on in the earth. A loud voice in heaven. Here it is. Revelation again said, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Why? For the accuser of our brethren, has been thrown down, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. What happened at the cross? Your sins, my sins, every crime we'd ever committed, every crime we ever would commit, every crime that had been committed before the cross, and every crime that would be committed afterward. There is no longer an accuser to stand before the throne and say, he's guilty, and I'll make the case for why he deserves punishment. It's not only that we've won the court case, it's that there's nobody actually even there anymore arguing the case against us. Do you hear that? So when we're all down, when we're all down in shame and condemnation and all that, it's not because somebody in heaven is accusing us. Man, it's a revelation. It's not because the accuser is standing in the courts of heaven and we're trying to defend ourselves. We don't have to defend ourselves. It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? There is no condemnation. Why? Because the accuser isn't allowed in that courtroom anymore. Come on, are you getting this? He's not allowed in there. He comes to the door, the bailiff doesn't say, hey, I saw you cast down to earth. Let me do it again. Picture that. The next time the accusation comes, you're this, you're that, you're not enough. He's been thrown down to the earth. That voice only exists in your mind because the deceiver is trying to convince you that somehow he's going to get the one up on you. Now it's come. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, which you hold in your hand, and because of the word of their testimony, which you have on your lips, and they love not their lives, even when faced to death. So then it goes on about this whole thing about the dragon chasing the woman and chasing us, and the earth helps and all this kind of stuff. No time to get into that. But the dragon was enraged with the woman, who is the church, and went off to make war with the rest of her children, which is all of us, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So does life feel like warfare sometimes? Yeah, it does. It surely does. It says it right there. He's going to continue to make war. He's like, remember at the end of World War II, we found out, I think there was one that happened maybe 3 decades after World War II was over. And one of those little Japanese islands, there was some Japanese soldier had this little island, maybe the size of our church property. And his assignment was to defend that island at all costs. We hadn't got the word that you long since lost the war. He didn't hear the nuclear blast from his homeland. And he was still defending that island. So people came up on the island and he started shooting at them. That's the enemy right now. That's what he's like. He didn't get the news maybe, or didn't believe the news, or refuses to accept the news that he has no place in your life or mine. That he doesn't belong here in this land. So as you take that bread in your hand and that juice in your hand right now, we're going to minister to the Lord some more. And I'm going to invite you to just wait. Don't just take it right away. Wait for, ask the Lord right now. I just preached as best I could. These feeble little lips did their best job to try to open up a picture that we see in the book of Revelation for you. But you got to see it for yourself. There comes a point in time that every saint of God has to have your own revelation. You got to be able to see with your own eyes what God's done. Because when revelation comes, when our heart's eyes can see what Jesus has done, that's when the new song begins. That's when the word of our testimony begins to come forth. That's when we've really become overcomers. As Jesus is, so are we in the world. So take that. You can get a spot up in the front. Stay in your seat if you want to, just somewhere. This is between you and the Lord this time. I know sometimes around communion we like to be together as family, but there's some times where we just need to reconnect with our deliverer, where we need to tap into again the strength and the power of what's already been done on the cross. Get back into that place of peace. The armor of God, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You keep warring in your heart and mind until you're back in the place of peace, knowing that it's already been done, there's nothing else that could be added to it, and there's certainly nothing that could take away from it. It's finished. Let's go for it together. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. So I want to open up the mic right now for you to come forward and just simply testify. Not because I overcame something, but Christ in me overcame this issue in my life, and then declared he could do the same for you. Come on up and share your testimony. That's a testimony. Here's what I was. Here's what Jesus did. Here's what I am now.
I'm very human, and like some couples, we had a disagreement this morning. Anyway, for a few minutes, I was like so mad with Sylvia does. And then I said, you know what? It is finished. And the Bible says to in everything rejoice. So I flipped it, turned my vision from what it was to what it's going to be, saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and what you will do. And you know what? It works. It really works. So don't you ever say, I can't, Because, well, you can't, but Jesus in you can. Turn your vision, flip the situation, and praise the Lord in all things.
Come on, don't be shy. Testify and encourage one another in the Lord right now. What's he done for you that you know he will do for somebody else?
A lot of us probably go through the same emotions. One minute we're down, one minute we're up. A week or so ago, I was bawling my eyes out for a whole hour feeling sorry for myself. But I'm on the upswing. It says, we may fall, but we get back up. Keep making the choice to get back up. Even in the midst of when people see us down, even in the midst of people seeing us when we're up, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I was wild in the world, partying Friday, Saturday nights, out every weekend. I would dance for the enemy. Now it's time to dance for the Lord. Are we going to stop and change, or are we going to keep continuing and show the enemy who we really want to give glory to? We can rejoice at a football game and run out on the field after we get the victory Friday night. But yet I don't see the young people up here running up to the altar. Get up here. Lord, I just thank you that you're doing a work in each and every one of us to build us up. I'm going to come forward. God is doing a new thing. The new thing. His mercies are new every morning. So let's rejoice in that. Let's worship him in that. Let's show the enemy who we really are. Let's walk in that victory of who we really are. And we are a child of the King. We are daughters and sons of the King. We are princes and princesses of the King.
I've given many testimonies, and I don't even know where to start. But I've had health issues, many health issues, and God has brought me through each one of them. I am strong and healthy now. Praise God for all he has done for me. And health issues, work issues, there's so many testimonies I could tell you about. I don't even know where to start because God is awesome, and that's who we serve.
Amen. To the mic.
I was sitting back there not knowing if I wanted to come up because I'll just explain the situation. So a few weeks ago during a morning prayer, we were declaring healing over backs, and it's not something that I talk about a lot, but I have progressive stenosis in my back and I'm losing feeling in my right leg. And so it gets tired and I stumble and stuff like that sometimes. And it's funny how you just kind of accept things. And I was standing there thinking, like, I'm praying for all these other people, but yet, so for whatever reason, it took an act of faith for me to step out and say, you know what, I could use prayer too. And so they started praying for me. And as I fell over, my back popped. And the pain wasn't gone, but it was a different pain. It was kind of almost like when there's a muscle that you haven't used in a while, and it was just sore, like I needed to use it more. And as the week progressed, like I could do, like before, like I couldn't lift my leg or lift it like this. It just was too heavy, and I was, praise God, able to do it. And the reason that I struggle coming up here is I feel like I've taken a step backwards, but something Connie said is you need to walk in the victory. And so I'm declaring now that what happened is what happened. And so if anybody has suffered a healing or experienced a healing and feels like, you know, the enemy is coming in, because the last thing the enemy wants is for you to walk in that victory. So I'm here to declare myself healed and declare it over yourself that you are healed in Jesus' name.
Warren forgot to mention wife issues, but no, I was always a person that was never thought good of myself. I put on, you know, when I was out, I was always joyful and happy, but in my mind, I was just didn't have good feelings about myself. And then, you know, God revealed who he's made me to be, and I stepped out in that. So if anyone here does not feel that they are worthy, you are worthy because Christ has made us worthy.
Jesus has done so much in my life. I've been clean and sober every day for over 3 years now, thanks to Jesus. And he's enabling me to parent 3 children by myself. And today is my wedding anniversary, which is really, really painful for me. But I have so much hope in Jesus about what he's going to keep doing in my life. So endless hope.
Feeling encouraged? Feeling encouraged enough? You're not beaming enough yet, I'm not sure. Come on, one more. There really ought to be, if we have revelation knowledge, there's always something to testify about. All right, awesome.
You know this. Why am I feeling this? I didn't even cry a tear when my dad died. That was just the 11th of this month. But now when I have to talk about Jesus, it's just bubbling up inside of me. I never even knew my dad until he got sick. I mean, I lived with my father, but I didn't really learn the things that I learned about him until he got sick. And then he sat still and he talked about things, and I encouraged him to reminisce. That was a time for me to grow close to my father, but it's a time for me to grow close to my heavenly father. I couldn't have done it without the faith that I had in my father. My mother and I worked together in love. We had the courage and the strength to take care of him. I don't even know where I could have gotten it if I wasn't with the Lord, walking with the Lord each and every day of my life. And I give him all the glory for what he's done for me. Lord, I had to bury my father on the 11th, but I felt so much peace in my heart. And I hope that God's given you the same peace that he's given me, and that I can maybe encourage you to just step forward in your faith to do something. I didn't think I could do that for my father, but it was a blessing to me. And I pray that it's a blessing to all of you to come to the Lord, go to the cross, just bear it all, just allow him to work inside of you to do whatever's in your heart. If he put it in your heart, you know it's from the Lord. Lord, just strengthen each and every one of us today, tomorrow, and every day to do the things. You know, if you think you can't do it, trust me, you can do it. If he gives you the feeling in your heart to do something, you can do it. Lord.
Here, trying to eat a child a woman had just gave birth to 5 years ago. And today,
no way, you'd never read the book of Revelation then, right? Okay, just
five
checking.
Years ago, that's why I came up here and ripped it up and threw it on the ground. I'm claiming this one.
Come on.
The devil needs to leave me alone.
Wait, don't rip it up more. Can I have that? That is all. Did you hear that? Did you understand what just happened? So I don't know how many of you have gotten to know Rhonda, but God's been doing incredible deliverance and healing and
restoration in her life. We met her at the Mayo Park. She was living in a tent down there, and I mean, just in a really bad state. And God's been visiting her over and over again through the steadfast love of some saints here in the church. Amber at the point of the spear of that. And God's just been one by one tearing down strongholds in her life. 5 years ago when she was in California, a really rough period of her life, which I won't go into detail about, she drew this picture of a dragon trying to consume a baby about to be born. What? I assure you that who she was 5 years ago, she was not reading Revelation. Not for Revelation's sake anyway. So God was already beginning to minister to her in visions and dreams before she even knew him. And today revealed to her that this was you. This was the enemy of your soul trying to devour you before you could come into the fullness of who you are in Christ. And today, at the word of your testimony, you overcome him. Woo-hoo! You know, in the tent revivals of the middle of the last century, they used to hang crutches up on the tents, you know, of people in wheelchairs, and things like Amy Semple McPherson and other of the real power evangelists used to hang up. There were trophies of God's healing testimony. And this is the first one. I'm going to put this up. We've got to find somewhere in the church. And we're going to start putting things like this up. If you knew this woman, I'm telling you. Are you kidding me? If you could see, man, one of the joys of being a pastor is seeing, like, you know, you got these before and after pictures when you lose weight and whatnot. If you could see the before and after in the spirit and watch people and watch Jesus just little by little set people free. The greatest joy of any kind of ministry that there ever is. So here's a before picture from 5 years ago. After. Let's see what your ministry is next. All right, so anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody's. There's some good stuff. Okay. What was that? Oh, this can be good. Come on. You're not on crutches. Oh, my goodness.
So mine's not really a testimony, but the Word of God is speaking to me, and he's telling me that I need to do something this year. And he's just saying, spark up something new, make that ripple, start that wave. And I am going to need the youth's help on this and anybody else who would like to help. But every week I want to have one night of worship, and I want to invite the whole school, the whole town. I want to invite everyone, and I want to have worship for as long as it goes. And I want to start that up as soon as possible, and I could use as much help as possible. But I want the youth to start it. I want to show people that you don't have to be older. You don't have to be, you can be at any level. You don't have to be a pastor to start something. I could be me. I could be 10. I could be 3. I can start something. I want to have that childlike faith and joy. And I want to start something here in this town. And I want to invite everyone to come out. And I want to start it in my school.
Well, I think I can speak for the family that the building's all yours whenever you want it. And I'm with you. And I know there's a whole host of people, including the young ones who are about to come up right now. But anybody else? All right, Steve, come on, man.
All right, I gotta try to make this quick. I grew up in what you might call a dysfunctional family. And the only God I knew was a God that my mom would send me to go to Bible school, whatever, once a year, because that was what you did. And so, but even when I was little, those seeds that were sown were planted, and I knew God was speaking to me. But all through life, I grew up the same way my family did, dysfunctional. I ran sound for my cousin's gospel group when I was 12 years old, and every week I'd go and God would speak to me, and I would honestly give my heart to him. And then I go to school on Monday, and when I was a teenager, I got wrapped up in drugs and all that kind of stuff. And then the weekend would come and I'd go and I'd give my heart to the Lord. And then Monday would come and I'd go and I'd do drugs and over and over and over the cycle. But this is the way I was raised, because the only God that I knew was the God that, yeah, that's what you do. Nothing real personal. But God made it personal. Because I knew God was real. When I was doing drugs, it didn't matter what I was doing, he was real. And he conquered me with his love. And I said about my family, and then I can't calculate it right now, but I was still pretty young. In 93, my mom was murdered. In 95, my dad committed suicide, and in between there, both of my grandparents had died. My grandmothers, I never knew either of my grandfathers. So I never really had a family. The greatest testimony I have in my life, this is it, man. This is family. This is what it's all about. It's what it's all about. Because when you have those Mondays, things aren't going so good. Yeah, I got brothers, I got sisters here I can call, and in a moment they're ready to pray. They're ready to help you walk through that situation. This is family. I just wanted to thank God for that this morning.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, your story, our story. And I want to extend an invitation right now, because what God just said right here opens something up for you. If you've never been hugged by this man, you don't know what it means to be hugged. And there's a spiritual reason for it. It's not just that he's a great hugger. It's that this man manifests the love of the Father like very few I've ever met. And if you have never known the love of God like that, like Steve just described, you go ahead and tell me how there's any reason in the natural why Steve would ever trust Father God after what he endured. And yet he's come to know the Father like that. He's come to be wrapped up in the love of the Father like that. And if you've never known the Father like that, I want to invite you to come on and run down here and grab a hug from Steve and let him welcome you into the family of Father God. Don't stay estranged from God a minute longer if you don't know what it means to be loved like that. Come on into the arms of the Father. I'll take it all to myself, huh? You know.
You want me to do it now?
Yeah, right
I want
now
to give
great.
A testimony.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to hold it?
If you don't mind, I get trouble standing. I want to tell you something that happened in my life. You have to know that you know that absence in the body is present with the Lord. And sometime in your life, you have to have an experience with the Lord. And I want to share one about my wife. I was drafted into the military, and I didn't know what to do. I had a beautiful woman sitting at home. The most important thing that happened to me, my buddy, I met four guys in the Army. We were together the whole time, and I didn't know what to do. One morning, my buddy got up and says, "Bernie, you go with me in church this morning." Okay. I went to church. He's a Methodist. I'm a Lutheran. It's non-denominational in the church. They ask us to come forth to pray. My buddy Norm says, "Let's go." Okay. We went up and we prayed. I know what we prayed. What would happen? I dated my wife and knew her for 3 years and told her I was going to marry her. I know he prayed. I know I prayed. I says, "Lord, what am I going to do with that beautiful woman sitting at home?" Okay? My prayer was answered. I went home, and she took everything. We got married. We had $20 left in her pocket when we were done. She made all, her sisters made all the bride's grounds, everything. People today, they don't know what marriage is all about. They got to spend thousands of dollars. We spent pennies. We had a reception in a cellar of a basement. We went on a honeymoon, had $20 left when we got home. We shared it. I was missing for 15 months from her. We both prayed. Guess what? My buddy come home one day and says, and I told the people I was getting married. She accepted. We got engaged. It's a beautiful story. I could tell you lots of things that happened after that. My wife almost died having a child. Then the doctor sat with me all night, and the baby died. I prayed on the way to work about her. And the Lord spoke personally to me. I served the Lord for 40 years, and I'm a retired elder in my church. But that's not important. I could tell you how I was four times in a hospital for a pacemaker, and I don't have one today. I could tell you how my wife, they called me one night. They were going to operate on her. They were going to pick her appendix, her ovaries, everything. Next day I went to my work. 6,000 people working there. I heard the voice of the Lord. I never shared this with my wife. I heard him talk to me like, Paul was. And don't think it don't happen. The other day I left here, and I had all kind of noise going home. My wife says, I turned the car off. I never heard a word. So nobody else heard Paul. Nobody else heard me. 6,000 people. So I just wanted to share. So you got to know that you know without a question of a doubt. That absence in the body is presence with the Lord, and you better have a good experience. It don't come through baptism. It don't come through accepting the Lord. In my church, 12 years old, we accepted the Lord, and same as being born again. So I just want to share, make sure that you know without a question of a doubt.
Amen.
And I taught well over 100 Bible lessons to adults. I liked it.
Amen.
And your favorite to me was the 400 years of silence with the Lord when he told Elijah must come before and how he experienced under. I better shut up because the Lord gives me things to say and I go on and on and on and shut up.
I want to ask you to do something.
The Jehovah Witnesses Church is folded in Halifax. And I had a lot of time witnessing to the whole of your witnesses.
Okay. Can you stand for a few more minutes?
I think I helped.
Can you do something?
I think I helped. I always told the people that you got somebody who you're leading into a cult religion, and that don't count.
Okay. Wait, can you stay here and do something?
Pardon?
Can you stay here and do something?
Can I stay?
Yeah, just stay here for a minute. Kids, come on over here, quick.
Yeah, I have trouble standing and I don't hear her.
Oh, I know. I'll
I
talk
can
loud.
Hear when somebody talks in my ear.
I'll get right in this.
Yeah.
I'd like you to pray over our kids.
I had a lot of trouble.
Here, kids, come and sit down right in front of us here.
I was even a guinea pig for surgery that many people went through already. Yeah.
All right, right here, kids, is a man who's walked with God. Is it 60 years, did you say, when you got saved? 60 years ago you got saved?
I didn't really catch that. My wife
60
and I
years? You've been saved for 60 years, you said?
For
60. Was that it,
60? We're going to be married 68
long time.
Years.
68 October years. He's known the Lord for a really long time. Now, here is the truth, kids. I've watched a lot of people come to Christ and then walk away. A lot of people come and get excited about Jesus. They get excited about his teachings. They get excited about his miracles, about his love and all of his benefits. And a lot of people then walk away. You have a man standing in front of you who's walked with Jesus for 20 years longer than I've been alive. This man has something to impart to you. He knows what it means to walk with God. He might not be able to stand right now without my help, and his words may not come as quickly as they used to. But locked up inside of this man, something every one of us needs right now. So I'm going to ask him to bless us, starting with you, all of us, because I don't think there's anybody else in this room older than this man. I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands. But locked up inside this man is a treasure we're in desperate need of, and that's persevering faith. So would you pray for all of us that we could persevere in faith, just like you have, to stay faithful to the Lord all of our lives? Would you pray over us that God would do that for us also?
You want me to pray for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we ask everybody here now to open their hearts for you and for Jesus to come in and for each and every one of them to have that experience that they know without a question of a doubt that they're going to someday spend eternity with you. And it might not just happen in a moment of notice, but if you take Jacob, which I had a chance to talk to many years ago when he's seen the angels coming and sending and coming back from heaven, that he told the Lord that someday, if he stays with me, he will be with me all my life. And it took Paul 40 years before he was given He was given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
The blessing.
He was given the covenant to carry on for the people. So I hope each and every one of you here open up your heart and know Jesus, and pray to him every night. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I always spoke the Lord.
I'm just going to take an opportunity right now as a moment of instruction. Only a spiritual fool doesn't honor somebody who's persevered, not just in a like a religious kind of faith. I mean an active, vital faith. You heard his testimony. 4 pacemakers and he doesn't need one anymore. Only a fool doesn't rise up and honor somebody who's been able to walk faithfully with God for decades without turning to the left or to the right. That is a rare treasure we just had bless us right now. He's been in our midst forever. First time he's ever gotten on the mic. And I hope you opened your heart wide to receive what you just got, because it'll endure for the rest of your days. Come on up and share. Sorry I made you wait so long. This is powerful and part of what God just did here with the hugging. That was the most awesome altar call we've ever had in the church, wasn't it? I'm sorry some of you missed out on that, because that was something else. But here, I'll stay with you.
Okay, so God has brought me to a safe place now. Sometimes I wish that I was able to grow up like some of the little kids here, with a loving mother and a loving father. My mom and dad don't really care about me. They left me to raise my younger siblings. And now I'm 15, and I'll be 16 soon. And God has brought me with the Latchaws, and they actually care about me. And they've brought me to be the woman I am today. And I thank them so much. And I thank the Lord, because he made a plan for me. And I'm going to follow that plan.
Can you stand right in the middle of this group of kids right here?
Me?
Yeah. There you go. Stand right in the middle. This is what family feels like. Kids, you know what a group hug is? Wrap her up in a group hug. So like she's suffocating. This is what family feels like. Thank you, Jesus. Jamie, would you share what you were going to share while we have the kids here? All of those who are moving up into sixth grade, could you come and stand over here with me? Jamie, come on and share what God gave you a few minutes ago. Thanks for coming in, by the way, kids. I know you were all dancing and stuff in there, but God wanted to do something in here today.
I don't know if I can speak after everything that was going on here. But, Shane, come over here. Turn around. All right. This group of that's in sixth grade, and we're missing a couple. This group was the very first group of our baby boom. Way back when everyone was pregnant and we said, don't drink the water when you're a visitor. And now they are leaving elementary and going into middle school. They're leaving the children's ministry and going into youth. And I think, it's not. I don't think, I know that this is a new thing that's going on in our church. This was our very first, like I said, very first group of baby booms. And now they're going from here into a new thing. And they're maturing. We've matured as a church. And this is one of the new things that we kept talking about all morning. So I just can't wait to see what these guys can do. And, you know, all these other baby boomers that came on after them. All right. Lord, these group of young people, young men and women that are moving from children's ministry into youth group, they're moving from elementary to middle school. Lord, I just as they've grown up, we've seen them grow in you, Lord, and just keep that fire that's in them, Lord. Keep fanning that flame of loving you and growing in you and maturing in you. And bless them as they're moving into a transitional time, Lord, that they don't know exactly what's going on with everything that's... Keep them under your wings, Lord. Keep them in your protection. And let them be a light wherever they go. They have your word in their heart, and they can minister to the people around them very profoundly, Lord. And we thank you for their lives, and we thank you for what you're doing in our church and what you're doing in their lives, Lord. Amen. Oh, sorry.
These three, Anya and Shane, were the first kindergartners I've ever had to now come through sixth grade. So you guys make me feel really old. But they're just, this is the first fruits of what we're expecting to happen as we go into the new year and starting something new in children's ministry. But I have a certificate of graduation. I'd like to do this like a graduation ceremony, and y'all can cheer as loud as you want for these kids, because they just come to part one of the marathon. I wrote here that God is going to use your gifts that he's planted inside each one of you. It has been an honor to walk with you this far, and I know that we send you out in joy and knowing that God has planned every step you're going to take, and he will continue walking with you. So I'd like to present the certificate of graduation to Anya Blair. And this certificate of graduation to Shane Getz. And the certificate of graduation to Elsie Vanderwall. Come visit us soon.
Amen. All right, kids, you can go ahead back, all right? You can get changed into your normal clothes, and we'll be wrapping up now in just a couple minutes. So the children's ministry, we've made some changes in terms of how we'll go about ministry in there. It's not too late if you want to be a part of imparting to the young ones in our midst. Oh, yeah, we should do an offering today, shouldn't we? Thank you for remembering that. God bless you guys. All right, God bless you as you give. That's for the offering right there. If you're new to the church too, I do this because I would forget my checkbook every other time. You can give online through PayPal. You don't have to have a PayPal account, through the website, and you can set it up on auto pay. If you're like me, I love auto pay because I don't forget, which I'm prone to do. So that's another way you can give, and we're working on some other ways that make it easier to take special offerings and whatnot. But our children's ministry, we have a new leadership team that we're going to lay hands on next week and bless them as they prepare to go into a new school year in our children's ministry. But we're calling it Deeply Rooted, because the purpose of those first few years of life is to get rooted and established in love. Rooted and established in the love of God, rooted and established in the love of the family of God, and rooted and established so that they can bear fruit. We expect by the time kids are in sixth grade that they're practicing ministry, that they're not just coming to church to get fed, but they're laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. They know how to share the good news with people. We want our kids to be present members of the body of Christ, not like the future of the church. That's in a nutshell our vision for children's ministry. I'm going to get preaching if I keep going. It is really important that we impart life, not just doctrine, not just Bible teaching, but impart life to the young ones in our midst. And whether you are a teacher or not, I urge you to at least once every so often sign up to serve and impart your life in Christ into the young ones. You could do it by holding babies and worshiping over them and ministering over them in the spirit and the nursery. You could do it by offering yourself a living sacrifice and being with the preschoolers for a morning. There, that'll encourage you. I don't know who doesn't love hanging around with 2 and 3 year olds. If you take the time to get eye to eye with those kids, they will teach you something about what life's all about. I promise you. That's my favorite age group to minister to. They're crazy and they're easy to minister to because they believe everything you say. Right? It's hard to minister to adults because they're like, well, I don't know. I think I've experienced something different. Kids are like, oh, okay, I'll do that. It's awesome. 2 and 3 year olds, you can spend time with them, read them stories, cuddle with them, let them sit on your lap, minister life to them, sing with them. They love to sing. They love to play. They love to do everything that Jesus loves to do. And all the different age groups, whatever your gift is, if you're crafty, I mean, like you can do crafts, like meaningful crafts. Like things that will, when the kids are putting it together, they're processing what they learned with the Lord. You got a creative thing like that, like you're a Pinterest person, you could do that kind of stuff with the kids. Meaning there is something for everybody to impart life and that more abundantly into our kids. So there's really no good reason why our kids, by the time they graduate, shouldn't have been touched by every single adult in this church at least a few times. Some of you, it's going to be every week. I urge you to make us a church where our kids are not like below the radar. I used to describe this. Kids are about this tall. Don't let our church be the kind of church where all the cool stuff happens up here. Get down, get eye to eye with some kids. Greet them on their way out. We have been, and I love this. I love seeing this. Like people have commented, I get to church and I don't see my baby till after church is over. That's awesome. Because there's a family going on. It's a family reunion every week. I urge you to be that kind of adult who doesn't view kids as, well, someday you'll be old enough. Then I'll get eye to eye with you. That's how we raise up kids who, when they get to be 18, wonder who their church is and why. What's their, you know, I don't belong here. I don't really feel like I'm part of this church. There is no generation gap in the body of Christ. There's no generation gap. It's the biggest standing division in the body of Christ. We do it to ourselves. We allow our kids to do it. Right? We just graduated kids into middle school. I already had the conversation with my middle schooler. You know, you're only 6 months older than the fifth graders. Don't you be all high and mighty now. Like, I'm in middle school and you're just an elementary kid. Don't you dare do that. We are one body, one spirit, and they know junior Holy Spirit that the kids get. So it's on us to reach in and draw the young ones into our world and allow Jesus to draw us into theirs, because of such is the kingdom of heaven. So we could practice that today while we're at our church fellowship. Whether you signed up or not, you can come. It's at the Hoffman's house. There are directions out there. Thank you, Amber. There are directions there. It's past where the Amped store used to be. Speaking of which, it's no longer going to be Amped. Instead of, I was going to say the Moors, instead of the Morgans. I don't know why I do that to them every time. The Morgans are now going to have a smokehouse creamery. So they're mastering the art of smoked meats, smoked ice cream. They're making homemade ice cream, and they're going to smoke ice cream. Come on now. I don't mean smoke it like how Steve used to. I mean, yeah, smoke. Sorry, man, I could have resisted. I could have resisted, but I didn't. I'm sorry. No, they're making smoked ice cream. Who does that? Anyway, they're providing the meats for for our picnic today. So they'll have, I hope, flyers and information. We want to overwhelm them and bless them. So spread the word that they want a godly place for people to gather and experience the presence of God while enjoying the best cooked meats and ice cream that there is in the valley. So they're going to cater today. And you still got to bring sides and that. They're just doing the meat. So unless you want meat sweats, bring, you know, sides and desserts today to eat too. But anyway, that's happening starting at 2 o'clock. You can bring a side or dessert. If you forgot to, don't worry about it. Just come and join us. We want you, not your food. There's always enough. There's always too much. What else was I supposed to announce about? Bill wants help. He's going to get some help.
I'm not going to say, I could tell you weren't going to say that, but after church, meet me over there in the corner. There's a group of guys that said they would help. So you know, just give me help with loading tables, loading some chairs. I have a list. We're going to get the inflatables. Give me a show of hands who said they're willing to help. Okay, that's enough.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bill. So help set up, and we're going to break down at 5. We're going to shut down the water slide. Kids, wear your swimsuits. Kids of all ages, wear your swimsuits because the water slide's a lot of fun. So that'll all be there. So come ready to have a great time of fellowship. And all of that was extra to just encourage you. When you're there, look for people you don't know, especially younger people you don't know. Play some games with kids. Be interactive with one another. Don't just sit with your family. You can do that every other Sunday, which a lot of you do. Be together with the family of God, and especially look for those who aren't connected with the body yet. Try to get to know some folks that you don't know yet. That'll be an awesome time in the Lord. What else was I supposed to announce? Food bank, food delivery tomorrow. We're going to have food deliveries on the fourth Monday of every month. We got it all set up. Melissa is going to be running the show, right? Melissa and Crystal also. Melissa and Crystal. That's right. So if you would like to serve in that, the truck's going to arrive somewhere between 10 and 11. The last time we had 18 tons of food to give out. That is a literal number. That's not Steve's exaggeration number. That's the actual most weight that that truck can carry. So that's what they dropped off by the skids. So come and serve, love on our community. Now that it's a regular thing, we're going to be able to build relationships with some people, pray with people, get to know them, and really reach out and love to some people that need help. Anyone here is welcome to serve in that and partake of it, because there's always too much. So help James and I out and the team out, that we don't have to fill a dumpster full of leftover rotting vegetables and come and take it all, right? Yeah, so do that. That's another big part of the heart of our food bank, is that if you come and like you live, like Barb does this at her place, is grab some extra for people that live near you. Make your house a food bank. Fill up the back of your minivan with enough food to feed your block and love on your community like that. That's actually how this started. Yeah, we still got like 8 tons of frozen steakums in the freezer, and we have frozen hams this time too. So anyway, all right, let's move on. So we had church. Just so you know, I know that a lot of us, because we were raised in a new kind of liturgy, how many of you know we can get stuck in a rut and what it means to do church? We come, we have worship, and then we have announcements, and then we have a message, and then we have an altar call. There's even a guy who does a whole song thing about how a typical liturgy in a non-denominational church goes. That's not the purpose of church, guys. We did the purpose of church today. We met with Jesus. So I urge you, as a final word, to come each week ready to offer your portion of Christ in you into the mix of what good King Jesus wants to do when we gather in his name, because we expect to encounter him when we come together. You didn't come here to hear a message. There's 1,000 awesome podcasts out there. You didn't come here to hear a message. You came here to meet with Jesus. All right? So let's keep doing that. I'm not saying I'm never going to preach again. I'm ready to go. Anytime, push the button, I'm ready to go. But more than that, we want to meet with Jesus when we come together. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.